Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Hello and welcome to the program today. We're glad that you joined us. This is Pastor Wes Bradenhoff from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, and I'm joined with Pastor Chris Gordon from the Linden United Reformed Church. Every Friday we come to you with a roundtable discussion of important issues in theology and also trends that are occurring in North American Christianity. We always enjoy having this discussion. We hope you enjoy it as well. Well, today, seeing how it is that time of the year once again, we thought that we would have a brief discussion about the birth of our Lord Jesus and his incarnation and the importance of that, and also reflecting on the way that people think about that today. So, Chris, maybe we can begin with considering some common misunderstandings, perceptions of the Christmas event.
Yeah, Wes, I think there are many ways to begin with something like this in a day of, you know, the marketization of Christmas and the consumerism that has really dominated it. But I think we also see it, you know, on a more personal level in many of the Christian hymns that surround the Christmas theme.
Yeah, Christmas carols.
You know, they portray the baby Jesus as in a certain way, you know, no crying he makes. You have the emphasis upon, you know, even a halo on his head. All is calm, all is bright, no worries for the baby Jesus. And I think one of the things that is lost there is a real sense that right at the beginning of his birth, we have a presentation of him and his mission of going to the cross.
Right.
And so a baby Jesus, people like because he's non-combative, he's non-threatening.
He's almost non-human.
Right.
He's almost like the super baby.
We hold him in our hands.
I mean, you and I have both had babies recently, and you know, we would love to have a baby who no crying he makes, a baby who never fusses, who never causes any difficulties or anything like that. But you know, the reality is there's nothing sinful about a baby who cries inherently. There's nothing sinful about a baby who fusses because he's got a wet diaper or he's got colic or what have you. And I think what this sentimentalizing of the nativity scene does is it creates in our minds that Jesus is something other than truly human. And that's a dangerous direction to go because, you know, I don't want a Savior who is less than truly human. I want a Savior who is 100% man.
But I also think that, you know, when we think about his mission already at the beginning, I'm sure we'll look at this here, you know, the divide that was made. It's a far different message, you know, today when we can have a baby whom we can cuddle and really form in our own imagination and hold him in our hands, as opposed to, you know, early Christians didn't celebrate Christmas for a reason. They focused on the death and resurrection. The message is far different of a bloody, crucified Savior to whom all must bow.
Right.
That message is threatening because it leaves you with one of two options. Either you're going to worship him or you're going to reject him.
Right. You can't sanitize or domesticate the cross.
Right.
But you can very easily do that with a baby in a manger.
Right. It's a non-threatening message.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's problematic for today. And I think what often happens today in the way people approach the Christmas story and the Christmas event, the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus, is that they are inverting it from what it truly means. It is a story of humiliation. And I think many people today invert that into a story of glory, a story of exaltation. It's not about that. It's a story of humiliation. The Lord Jesus, the exalted King of the universe, the Son of God, coming as one of us, being born among the animals, being born in a stable, being born to peasants.
Right. That's right.
And I think Martin Luther drew a distinction between a theology of glory versus a theology of the cross. And I think we have to get back to, when we consider the Christmas story, we have to consider it in the light of the cross, that this baby was born to die, born to suffer.
You know, I think we see that, Wes, you know, typically how we would portray the shepherds in the field with the flock by night, grazing, no problems. Jesus born in a nice manger with everyone around him. All is calm, all is bright. But you know, the reality is all those lambs that the shepherds were looking over were Passover lambs.
Right.
That soon were to be carried into to Jerusalem to be slaughtered in a few months. And almost you could get the sense of why the angels came to those shepherds. The message really was, here is the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And further, you know, the manger, we tend to, almost the word manger gives a whole false sense.
Right.
It was a feeding trough.
Right.
Jesus is in a feeding trough surrounded by animals, which were all representative of the old sacrificial system. They were emblems of death.
Yeah.
All around him, these animals, the smell was horrid. And the statement, there was no room for him. The world didn't have room for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is all language to show all was not bright and calm for the baby Jesus.
Yeah. And if we use this theology of the cross as our lens, if we realize that he was born to die, then I think it also sheds light on the way the apostles treat the incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus. For instance, in the second chapter of Philippians, I'd like to read this passage with you. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Here's the incarnation and birth. "Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." And then Paul right away moves over to the cross. "He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
You know, that's very good, because what immediately we see now when we study the birth of Christ is that we are pushed right to his death, resurrection, exaltation.
Right.
You know, I find that interesting in Revelation, which Revelation is giving us the divine perspective of things. And this is the whole picture and the reality of Christ's birth given to us in Revelation. "And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne."
Right.
I mean, so from this murderous dragon ready to kill him to his exaltation on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
All that in between, that's the perspective given to us of from heaven.
Right. So as we're moving away from this sentimentalizing, this sanitizing domestication of the manger and of the Savior who rests in the manger, we look at it through the lens of the cross, and we look at it through the challenge that the cross presents to us. The message of Jesus' birth and his incarnation is a challenge to us. Are we going to reject him, or are we going to worship him? And there's this antithesis, right, that runs through the entire Bible, and it comes through in the incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus as well. This antithesis between what we find in Genesis 3, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, that God said that he was going to place enmity between those two, and that shines forth in this story as well.
Well, Wes, right in Matthew chapter 2, you have two kings presented. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, now Herod was an Edomite, a descendant of Esau.
Right.
You know, a wise man from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" You know, and I find it interesting. These two kings are set in contrast. And then we read this, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him."
That's just amazing.
This is God's people troubled, and who comes to worship? These magi, who are Gentiles, already showing us the mission of Christ, that from the beginning of his birth, the Jews would reject him, the Gentiles would come to worship him, as you said, Wes, leaving this question open-ended. Are we worshiping him not as a little cute baby and doll to be cuddled, but as God incarnate, or are we rejecting him, remaining hardened in our sins?
Yeah, that story of Herod is just amazing, because here you have Herod, descendant of Esau, as you said. You know, we look at that in the light of what it says in Malachi, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. And Esau naturally wants to kill him. Okay, that's to be expected, because that's the story of the Old Testament. You look at the Edomites throughout the Old Testament. They're constantly going after God's people, God's chosen people. Right? But then here we have this story, and all of Israel, all of Jerusalem is troubled along with Esau. They side on the wrong side of the antithesis. And then you get these pagans who come to worship him. And like you said, this is all about the challenge that is presented to us.
Right.
Are we going to worship Jesus? Are we going to worship him as he is revealed in the full totality of God's word? Or are we just going to pick and choose? Are we going to just stick with a domesticated baby Jesus whom we can handle?
Well, and even here, the baby Jesus is presented as a king. And what does Psalm 2 say about the king? Kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way.
Yeah.
The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. He is a king to be worshipped. And that's the message of the birth of Christ.
Exactly. And, you know, as Simeon said too, he's the one set, destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel. Rising and falling. There again, you have this antithesis, right? And the gospel message, it comes through in this entire story, and also the challenge of the gospel to each and every one of us, that we have to believe in Christ as he's revealed in his word.
And that's the question that comes to us. This child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. How do we know? Well, the question then is, the birth of Christ poses this question to us. Have we believed upon him as the King of heaven and earth?
Well, that's exactly right, Chris. And that brings us to the end of our program for today. And we're sure glad that you joined us today. And we hope that this program has been a blessing for you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website, where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.